Well, I guess it's Christmas in July. It's Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney, honoring a promise he made at the end of his show in Buffalo in October of 2015. He is returning. It will be November 14th at the... In my garage? No, I don't think so. At the arena downtown and the Key Center, of course. And joining us right now on WBEN for a look at the Beatles and their relevance and their importance. And Mr. McCartney, a guy who just got back from Ringo's 85th birthday party out in California, hobnobbing with the rich and famous. Ringo Starr's official drum historian, Buffalo's own Gary Astridge. Gary, thanks very much for joining us on WBEN. Much appreciated.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, I'm well, Gary, but it's times like this I ask myself, is it too late for you to become Paul's official bass historian?
Isn't it amazing? 2 times in 10 years, when I saw the list of places he was playing, what surprised me was Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Hamilton, Ontario. And I thought, wow, I mean, if he played either one of those locations, everyone in the other areas would all go there. You know, there was a big fan. And for him to do 3 in such close proximity is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And it's even more remarkable that he's still touring and he's still doing what he does best. Now, first of all, before we get into the whole Paul McCartney thing and the Beatles thing for a little bit, I want to ask about Ringo's 85th birthday party, as long as you wouldn't be breaking any rules of the Holy of Holies by relating some stories.
Yeah, no, I'll watch what I say, but it was a great day. We had the countdown event, which, you know, according to Ringo, he just said, hey, at noon, you know, wish everyone peace and love, no matter where you are around the world. So this was a special event. It was very big, a lot of people there. And it was, you could feel the love. I've experienced it in the past, but not like this one. It was so uplifting and fun. It was great.
So, Gary, with whom did you hang out? This is your chance to be a name dropper. I do it. You might as well.
No, I mean, I don't really hang out. I mean, to me, it's always let the people be, you know, but there's a lot of people there, like Joe Walsh, you know, his wife, you know, Ringo's son, Zach. Jackson Brown was there, Molly Tuttle, Steve Lukather of Toto, Greg Bissonette, Colin Hay, Jim Keltner, Eric Burden, Henry Diltz, the photographer, Image Stewart. It just goes on and on and on. And a lot of behind-the-scenes people in the music industry and friends. So
Gary, when you're standing at a party, Ringo Starr's 85th birthday party, and you just rattled off a list of names which are a who's who of the music world of a certain era, anybody walk up to you and say, who are you?
No. No.
Security!
And I think a lot of people either know me or know of me, you know, but I don't get the people coming up to me like, hey, you're the guy who wrote a book with Ringo. You know, I don't get that. I'm just kind of always under the radar. And I think that's why I've been friends with Ringo so long.
That is just super cool. Now, what you are going to say next, Gary, you are going to be speaking for an entire generation, maybe a couple of generations of musicians who play out in Western New York, okay? Because one of the things we're going to talk about today, at least a little bit for the opening part of the show, is the Beatles and are they still relevant? And I can remember the first time I heard a Beatles song. I was a little bit young to really enjoy Beatlemania, but some neighbors put speakers in the window on a day just like this and started playing I Want to Hold Your Hand, and I stopped in my tracks. I'd never heard anything quite like that before, and we're talking maybe 10 years after the release of the song, and it just stopped me. It just had a sound unlike anything I'd previously heard. Your story and what got you into playing the drums and eventually creating the Buffalo Beatles connection, how did the Beatles basically set the course and direction of your life?
Seeing them on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964, and it was amazing because I was just a kid, 7 years old, you know, didn't care about music, didn't know anything about music, but watching them and seeing them that night, you know, it changed my life. And it's surprising how when they say 72, 73 million people saw that show, it changed a lot of lives. And when in history, when you think about it, do you have an event like that happen where it's life changing. That was like the initial start of the magic, at least here in the U.S. And it's funny with doing what I do for Ringo, going to all kinds of conventions, traveling in variety of places, like even Paraguay, doing a Beatles convention, just to see the love for the Beatles, see the just how people go nuts, and when I'm getting it, like people wanting to touch me or talk to me because I'm the closest they're ever going to get to a Beatle, it's very humbling and it's very emotional, and I know there's ebbs and flows with how they are, through the years with just how they are connecting with people. I don't see it going away. So with Paul coming here. I mean, to me, it's just like, if you go back in time and say, hey, this is going to be your only chance to see Bach or Beethoven. It's that big. So Buffalo's blessed.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul McCartney, by the way, is coming to Buffalo in November. He was last here in October of 2015. Gary Astridge is with us on the Trocare College WBEN live line. And WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is 3:15. Gary Astridge is Ringo Starr's official drum historian, which is kind of cool. By the way, having been at Ringo's 85th birthday party, was Paul there or did he just send a card? Maybe a box of chocolate.
He wasn't there. I'm sure he sent the card, but there's something you could see online. It was kind of cool. They had some music artists. They put together a little set of songs that they were playing for Ringo. They were up on stage. Ringo sitting in the front row, and when they played the song, the Beatles song "Birthday" for Ringo, Ringo actually had Paul on the phone. And Ringo's sitting there holding his iPhone forward so that Paul could hear the recording. And somebody from Associated Press was behind the stage and had a direct line view of Ringo. And he snapped a photo, and it was a high-res photo where he was able to zoom in on the phone. And you could see Ringo had Paul listed as Mac, M-A-C, dash, Macca, M-A-C-C-A, which was a nickname for Paul. So it was just kind of cool that he was sharing that with Paul at the moment.
Would have been better if his phone number would have popped up. Then we all could have it.
Yeah, could you imagine?
Check in on him from time to time. Gary Astridge is with us at Radio 930 WBEN. But I guess what I want to get at here, Gary, is what amazes me, not just from you in previous conversations we've had, but other musicians of a certain era, and even after that certain era, the fact that after the Ed Sullivan Show and the Beatles' appearance thereon, so many people went and got drums or their first guitar or whatever, and their direction was set, and all they did was practice, practice, practice. They wanted to be musicians. You want to talk about that phenomenon?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was huge. I know the people of actually have some of the original family from the Ludwig Drum Company. They told their version of seeing the Beatles on the Sullivan Show, and there, there's a drum set that says Ludwig on the top of the bass drum head, and then the Beatles, their story was the following day, so many orders came in, they couldn't keep up, but that just exploded that business. Their sales just went right through the roof. And I know it directly affected me. I mean, affected all the music that we hear. And, it just comes down to just changing so many people's lives because of their music, and then overall through that, just the way they were as people, it just changed society.
One of the things too that strikes me about both Paul McCartney, who's coming to Buffalo in November, and Ringo Starr is their levels of physical fitness, and Ringo's energy in particular, and Paul's energy in particular, at their advanced ages, how do they do it?
Ringo is unbelievably fit and extremely sharp. He's a vegan, and he sticks to his diet, and he works out 6 times a day or a week. Excuse me, not a day, but he's in better shape than I am. He's a testament to growing old. It's just amazing. Everyone that's around him is just blown away by the way he handles and carries himself.
Yeah, he's just extremely energetic. And Paul McCartney, which is the reason, he's the reason you're on the program today. Paul McCartney, it's not easy doing, I think he did three and a half hours on stage. That's not an easy thing.
Yeah, it's not. You know, and I know in the past, I'm not sure about now, but in the past he would do shows and never have a drink of water on stage, never drink anything. How he does it, I don't know. But he does, and he loves what he does. And Ringo always says, you know, he goes, how, you know, he's asked, how long are you going to keep performing? He says, until they pull drumsticks out of my cold, dead hands. You know, he's just
well, that's one way to answer the question. So just out of curiosity, being that you are friends with Ringo Starr, it would not be cool, would it, for you to call Ringo and say, hey, can you hook me up with some good Paul McCartney seats?
No, I would never do that. In fact, that's one of the golden rules, you know, of being in the position. It's like, don't ask for anything, don't do anything, just stay under the radar, do your job, stay in your lane. And that works out well for me. So,
well, very, very well. So in 100 years, will the Beatles be an asterisk, or are people still going to be listening to or plugging their brains into a direct channel, of course? Will they be plugging their brains into Beatles songs? And why the Beatles? Why not the Beach Boys? Why not Gilbert O'Sullivan?
Well, Gilbert O'Sullivan, I don't know. But Beach Boys, yeah, I'm sure they'll rank up there high along with the Beatles, too. But I hope that they're still relevant. You know, things are changing so much musically, and you know, the world's changing so much. Who knows what the future holds? But I'm sure that they'll carry a strong presence.
Very interesting. And one other thing, and I don't mean to leave the program or have you leave the program on a down note, but we are at a very interesting point because so many of the icons of the 1960s, such as Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, many of the Beach Boys, but not all of the Beach Boys, are still alive. Bob Dylan, and so many people that I could name, but I'm not going to name, they are at advanced ages. And you know, Gary, there's going to come a time where we're going to have a reckoning, and it's going to be a very somber time for people of a certain age who grew up in the 60s and 70s to see these legends of music and staples of their lives actually shed their mortal coils. Those are going to be some sad days.
Yeah, those will be sad days. And there's one thing I wanted to mention, Tom. I don't know if you knew this or not, and this isn't me trying to stick it in an advertisement, but I just think it's an honor. Did you know that Ringo and I did a book together?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good. So,
but please plug it.
I feel honored with that because. Yeah, it's called Beats and Threads, and it's about Ringo's drum sets and his wardrobe, his fashion during the Beatles years. Plenty of pictures, and it's just, it was an honor to spend a lot of time with him putting that book together. And the more that time goes by, I find myself like, I did that. Where'd the time go? I can't believe that I actually did that with him. And it was just an honor because nobody gets that.
How aware? I've watched a lot of interviews with Beatles after they were Beatles. And how does Ringo deal with and does he appreciate exactly what his musical legacy and the Beatles' musical legacy has been? Does he really get it? Does he understand the tectonic shifts the Beatles brought?
Oh, yeah, he gets it. And with being around him, you know, and seeing how people interact when that subject it gets brought up. You know, there's times where I'm hearing it and I'm thinking, God, I'm not around him a lot, but when I am, you know, people are asking me the question, I'm going like a whole lifetime of that, the same questions over and over and over. But he gets it and he's cool with it. And he's, it definitely cemented his place in history, rightfully so.
Indeed. Gary Astridge, Ringo Starr's official drum historian and co-author with Ringo of Beats and Threads, correct?
That's it.
Thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Okay. All right.
On the Trocare College WBEN Live Line, that is Buffalo's own Gary Astridge. And you might be tuning in saying, how come he's talking about Ringo and everything like that? Well, it kind of seemed fitting because Paul McCartney is coming to Buffalo, and it's going to be in November. The 14th of November. He last played Buffalo was at the 22nd of October in 2015. And kind of curious, there's a couple of ways we can go on this. If you want to come along with me, that's fine. First of all, If you can possibly go and see Paul McCartney, I would definitely suggest going and seeing Paul McCartney, because it as Gary said, it's kind of like, I'll name another classical composer. If you had one chance and one chance only to see Mozart, even if you weren't really into classical, would you do it just to say you did? Because let me just give you an analogy. Glenn Campbell, remember Glenn Campbell? Like a rhinestone cat. That one, yeah. And a whole bunch of other big hits. And he was a Beach Boy too, but Glenn Campbell developed some cognitive issues and did a farewell tour. And I wasn't the world's biggest Glenn Campbell fan, that genre of music, but seeing him at the UB Center for the Performing Arts, it absolutely blew me away. Glenn Campbell was amazing. And what really got to a lot of us who were watching that show, maybe you were part of the audience, I don't know, was the fact that here's this guy suffering with severe cognitive decline, and yet it didn't affect his motor skills playing the guitar. He was meticulous. He was absolutely spot on, didn't mess up a single note, and his voice was absolutely incredible. And I will never regret spending an evening with Glenn Campbell, because that was my one and only chance to see this guy. And when I go back now online and I watch videos of Glenn Campbell, I can always say to myself, maybe you could too, that, hey, I saw him playing live. You know what? No matter what happens, that's something they can never take away. So Paul McCartney coming to Buffalo in November, just out of curiosity, is that a big deal to you? Do you plan on going? Do you have a maximum amount of money you would spend for, let's say, two people? Should we say two people, or maybe one person, to see Paul McCartney? Because the up-close and personal seats, they're going to be expensive. Take it from personal experience from your humble host. They're going to be expensive, but I don't regret a single penny I spent on those seats because of the memories that were made. But everybody's got a maximum. Everybody has a line in the sand, if you will, past which they will not put on the charge card for tickets to see anybody, including Paul McCartney. So is it a big deal? And we did this topic maybe a year, maybe 2 years ago. I kind of lose track of these things. But tell me something. In your life, are the Beatles still relevant? Do the Beatles still matter? Do you still go online or go through your CDs or whatever and fire up some Beatles songs to get you psyched? And by the way, not for nothing, but I think I like Abbey Road and the White Album better than I like Sgt. Pepper. Isn't that kind of weird? Yeah, Sgt. Pepper gets all the applause, but Abbey Road, that side two medley is just incredible. And that's what I call an accident of incredible good luck, because it really wasn't planned that way. 803-0930, the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Do you even listen to the Beatles? Do your kids listen to the Beatles? My kids are in their 30s, and the Beatles are very big on their list, but they have other interests as well. My son very much into Pink Floyd, and my daughter very much into some other stuff that is vastly inferior to anything I listened to or I taught her. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Oh, I knew Tanner Saunders was going to put something like this on. But the real thing, I don't know if he's going to do it this tour, but when Paul McCartney does Live and Let Die, all I can tell you is your eyebrows, if you're sitting anywhere close to the stage, may or may not leave the arena with you. Paul McCartney is coming back to Buffalo. It will be the second show in just over a decade in Western New York by Sir Paul McCartney. And November 14th is the date of the concert. And he was last here October 22nd of 2015 in Western New York. And Paul McCartney was absolutely sensational. And you know that somebody is a music legend of incredible importance when you might not even be a big McCartney fan, you might not even be a big Beatles fan, but every single song he played the last time he was in Western New York, every single song, you knew it. You knew it. It was absolutely incredible. And Paul McCartney, just out of curiosity, I have to ask you this. Are you somebody who believes that the Beatles are overrated? Maybe somebody who would go so far as to say the Beatles suck. Or are the Beatles, in fact, still very relevant? And do they hold a special place in your heart? Music, of course, is very, very subjective. And what you like, I may not like. okay? And I'm going to catch hell for saying this from a lot of people, but I have to be brutally honest here. You know, I know everybody loves him, but Frank Sinatra, I just can't get into Sinatra no matter how much I try. Oh, believe me, I've tried. I can't do it. I can't do it. I've tried. I've been open-minded. I just can't do Sinatra. I know many of you are very angry at me right now, but again, music is very, very subjective. But the first time you heard the Beatles, was it something different? Was it a different sound that you'd heard in the Beatles from any other group of the era, like the Byrds with a Y, or whomever, the Rolling Stones? I mean, the 60s were a phenomenal time for music, and it's amazing that Keith Richards is still alive, by the way, and aging every day. And it was, and then you get into people like the Mamas and the Papas, and only one of them is actually still alive. But you go back and you watch the videos, and you really understand why these people were absolutely legendary and why they were so popular. And frankly, this is old guy talking. I will take the music of that era and previous eras any day of the week, as opposed to most music of today, which it doesn't touch the soul. Okay, the Beatles touch the soul. The Rolling Stones touch the demonic part of the soul. But fun fact here. How many of you are fans of Jeff Lynne, Electric Light Orchestra? Okay, Jeff Lynne was actually involved with the Beatles in the Beatles' latter days, and a lot of people think that Electric Light Orchestra is pretty much what the Beatles would have become, not the Electric Light Orchestra, but music of that kind, had they actually stayed together. Now, that's conjecture, and nobody actually knows for sure because they didn't stay together, and any hopes of a reunion, at least in this world, were dashed by the assassin in New York City on December 8th of 1980 when John Lennon was murdered when he was 40 years old. And I don't know if you've done this also in your elder years or as you come to appreciate the Beatles, but It's always interesting doing a deep dive. Everybody knows, I think, the big songs of Lennon and McCartney as solo artists, or in McCartney's case with Wings, in John Lennon's case with Yoko, unfortunately. But George Harrison, the more I dive into the Beatles, the greater appreciation I have for George Harrison. And what's really freaky is that I mentioned Jeff Lynne and ELO before. Danny Harrison and Jeff Lynne are actually friends because George Harrison was very dear friends with Jeff Lynne. And when you hear Danny Harrison singing, he sounds eerily like his father. Jeff Lynne's last tour that I saw him on anyway was 2019 in Pittsburgh. Thank you, Renee Zeno. And Danny was on stage on his birthday, August 1st of 2019, and he did the Wilbury song, Handle With Care. You would have thought George was on stage singing that song. It was just an eerie effect, and it was so cool. Like, okay, I know I'm not really watching George Harrison, but I kind of feel like I am. But yeah, George Harrison, I think, is really so tragically underrated. And Ringo, got to hand it to him, very, very tasteful drummer. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And do the Beatles still matter to you? Do they still matter to your kids? My kids are in their 30s, and the Beatles matter to them. Don't know if the Beatles touch my kids at a level at which they touch me, which is very deep and very emotionally. But I'll tell you, it's right up there. Let's go to Pam on WBEN. Hello, Pam.
Hi. How you doing, Tom? And congratulations on your big weight loss.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's almost like I lost another person, but thank you.
I see that. But what I want to say is, way back in the 60s, or 64, my dad had some kind of connections with Capitol Records, and he brought all these albums home. And inside of there was Meet the Beatles, the Beach mm-hmm. Boys, and Dave Clark 5, and from that moment on, I fell in love with the Beatles. It was their look. And then once I played it for all my friends, we even did, we put on plays in my friend's garage. And one of us was Paul, another one was George. We had a ball with it. But even today, well, I did go to the other Paul McCartney concert, too, 10 years ago. My cousin and I, we plan on going to this one too. Keep our fingers crossed.
So Pam, I have to find out, how did you get the news Paul McCartney was coming back to Buffalo in November?
Oh, well, yesterday on the radio, I heard something about they had a feeling that McCartney was coming because said something about Get Back. My cousin, who I went with the last time to see him, called, texted me at 7 o'clock this morning and said, guess what? She was like nuts. So right away it was like, get on to that website to get the early the pre-sale ticket thing.
Yes. Enjoy your dynamic pricing, by the way.
I have a, yeah, right, right. My daughter says, Mom, isn't it kind of pricey? I go, he probably won't be back again.
Probably not, but I find it interesting because you went to the show in 2015. So you scratched Paul McCartney off the bucket list, but you will move heaven and earth to see Paul McCartney again in November.
Are you kidding? Yes, yes. My one cousin has a Beatles night at a wine bar in Williamsville, and he does Beatles night every other Friday. We're there faithfully. I could sit there every other week and sing every song. I just don't get sick of it. It's just amazing. You know, the songs. I love the Beatles.
I really wonder if teenagers today, and maybe even under teenagers today, get into the Beatles. If they have that same feeling that I had a few years after the Beatles broke up, when I was first exposed to the Beatles, where I was literally, I was arrested in my step. I literally had to stop and listen to this phenomenal, angelic, incredible sound, the likes of which I'd never heard before. And it was simply, I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles. It hit me on a level that nothing else really had.
Right, right. And that's how my kids all love it. My grandson gets into it. I mean, he knows, you know, because that's how it was in my house. That's how it is in my daughter's house. We all know the Beatles, and I even have tickets right now to go see them on the rooftop thing, you know, in, what is that, at Larkinville, you know, where they have, I don't know the name of the group, but they do the Beatles rooftop thing. You know, that's
I wish Gary's, you heard Gary Astridge on with us before. He was the drummer for the BBC, the Buffalo Beatles Connection. And I wish those guys would get back together because they were sensational. And one of the things that struck me, anytime you would go to see the BBC, the age range was incredible. It was young people. It was middle-aged people. It was old people. It was dead people. It was every demographic you could possibly imagine.
I wanted this. They rose and listened to the Beatles.
Can't help it. I mean, they really do touch people.
Yeah. You're wonderful.
Sorry, I didn't mean to set you off on that. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney, is coming to Buffalo. And are you somebody who thinks the Beatles still matter? And or are you somebody who thinks Beatles suck? Get over it, man. 60s are dead. They're dead and buried. They're as dead as Dillinger. You could think that. I get it. I do get it. Actually, the first Beatles song I heard was Yellow Submarine, but I didn't really take it that seriously. Yellow Submarine was written for kids. I really do. And that was the first Beatles song that I played over and over. But when I heard I Want to Hold Your Hand for the first time, played very loud, it did something to me. It went inside of me. It violated me. It went into my soul. Let's go to Mark on WBEN. A little graphic there. Mark, hello.
Hi, Tom. Huge fan. I was 9 years old on February 9th, 1964. I watched them on Ed Sullivan that Sunday night. When the show was over, my mother and father peeled my face off the 19-inch black and white portable in the TV room, and I told them I want to do that. And the next Saturday, I had my very first guitar lesson. Been playing ever since.
So, and you speak, as Gary did, I think, for a lot of the musicians we have seen or will see in Western New York, whose course in life was set by watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Without a doubt. I even have my, I understand you play, and I don't know if you're a collector or you're aware of the value of certain guitars, But the very next year, I was 10 years old, and had a newspaper route, and I was getting pretty good, you know, playing. And I saved up my money, and I paid cash for a 65 Epiphone Casino.
Huh.
And you probably know that that was the same guitar that Lennon and Harrison got when they did Rubber Soul. And I got a 65 Casino. I have it to this day, and it never leaves the house. And that guitar barks. It's got great tone, and I can understand why it was so influential in their albums from that point forward. To this day, Paul says that his Casino is his favorite guitar. They just had such an impact on music, on culture. I mean, JFK had just passed, and our country needed a lift, you know, and by God, they gave it to us. They gave it to us.
Yeah, the timing is the timing was pretty remarkable, and what the Beatles did. I mean, a lot of people have issues with some of the cultural changes that were brought about, not just by the Beatles, but by a lot of the so-called countercultural movements of the 1960s. And Mark, what is interesting to me is all of the Beatles tribute bands that there are across the country. And they keep the music of the Beatles alive. And obviously, some are national acts, some are more localized in nature. But the evolution of the Beatles, I've often been fascinated by, starting with the Rubber Soul period, and then the evolution after Rubber Soul.
That's my favorite era, 66 to 68. It doesn't get any better than those three albums, Rubber Soul, Revolver, and then, the one with the Butcher Babies, Dr. Robert, and you know those songs. I mean, those three records are just unbelievable.
So that is your favorite period, and I think the big question, when you talk to younger people today, do you think that the Beatles are as relevant to the younger people today as they were to you and me, or are they losing their relevancy? Does nobody really care? You say, hey, Paul McCartney's coming, and hey, who's that?
I don't think it's a matter of McCartney. You know, like I said, I've been playing guitar for, almost 60 years now. I'm 70. And I've given some of my relatives lessons, you know, and they want to learn the music. They want to learn the music. They want to learn the lead riffs. It's not so much the individuals as much the music has lived on. You hear the songs and you know where you were when the album was released. You know, when that song came out, you know exactly where you were. I mean, you know, Hey Jude, I mean, it was fall 1968. I was washing my car on a Sunday afternoon and all of a sudden it comes on and I just dropped everything. You know, you just remember those things. And if you're a musician, I mean, just think back. You know, your brother's a little older. I've talked to him about this years ago. But you think back to 63, 64, and that was three chords. It was, you know, you play. It was E, A, and B, you know, and maybe a minor chord. But when they came out, I mean, even I Want to Hold Your Hand, there's seven or eight different chords in that song. Nobody else was playing like that when they released that album. That album had such an impact on a musician. And then, of course, then came the equipment. But you know what was cool? They did all that on a four-track system. They didn't have any pedals. Nobody used, you know, a distortion pedal. Nobody used a wah-wah. You know, I mean, they kind of mistakenly, you know the story about distortion. Lennon had his guitar. He leaned it against his amp. It fell on the floor. All of a sudden, you hear that. He discovered distortion.
Now, was that the beginning of I Feel Fine? Was that the mystery chord at the beginning of I Feel Fine? Yeah.
I mean, people they just pioneered so many different sounds and just effects. And, you know, my God. Yeah. I mean, you have to respect.
I guess the big question is, are you going to Paul McCartney in November? Is that your intent?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
Well, I hope you have a good time. Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you.
That's kind of cool.
Tom.
Paul McCartney coming to Buffalo, Sir Paul McCartney, in November. Coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN, I want to visit something that I'd wanted to visit yesterday, but never really had a chance to do. So Saturday, it's going to be mostly sunny and humid and 86 degrees. And maybe you'll be asking the question, who let the dogs out? Dogs. Dogs everywhere. But why? I'd like to know. And how do you feel about it? You know where I'm going with this, right? I hope you do. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. People and their dogs. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to be with you. And as you know, this weekend, a major event is happening in Buffalo, and it is a Taste of Buffalo. And one of the things that drives me a little bit crazy at some of the outside people festivals is when our canine friends are brought along to the people festivals. Now, before we go any further and you get the wrong idea, of course, I prefer cats to dogs. However, I love dogs. I was a little late coming to the cat scene, but I do love dogs. I really, really love dogs, okay? Dogs are great. Dogs are amazing. Dogs are super cool. Grew up with a dog, okay? But I have to tell you that the dog, when people were doing people things, the dog stayed at home. When we went to the fair, the dog stayed at home. If we went to a place that was in public and outside where a lot of people were going to be, the dog stayed at home. The people went out. And I would say, over the past 20 years or so, have you noticed a dramatic increase in the number of canines who are brought to people events? And where are you on that? Dogs, again, how can anybody not like dogs? I love dogs. And don't take this as a dog bashing thing, because it really isn't. But can we put ourselves for a moment in the situation of being a four-legged furry dog? Saturday, for example, Taste of Buffalo. It is going to be a very well-attended event. It usually is. It's very well-run. A lot of entertainment there. But it's also going to be a very sunny day. And what does sunshine do to sidewalks, like your driveway? What does sunshine do to asphalt? Tends to make it a little hot. Ooh, if you have a pool, you get out of the pool and you step on that stuff. It's like, hey, I want to go back in the pool. My feet are burning. In fact, they're actually on fire. Holy cow, how did that happen? But can you imagine being a dog barefoot, your foot pads aching and hurting and on fire with every forward step you make at the behest of your master on the leash? Have you ever seen a dog look happy at an outside festival? I honestly have not, because in the summertime, these outside festivals, again, they are crowded with people. All the dog sees are legs and crotches. I'm not going to tell you what the dog smells, but all the dog sees, legs and crotches. There is nothing at Taste of Buffalo for a dog. That's a people event. Is it too much to ask that people leave their dogs at home? And by the way, I want to applaud the people who run a Taste of Buffalo, or the Taste of Buffalo, because if you go to their website, you will see very plainly written that they strongly encourage people to leave their dogs at home. One of the most frequently asked questions, I guess, is the Taste of Buffalo a dog-friendly event? Well, they love dogs, and because they love dogs, they're encouraging you to leave yours at home. Bravo to the Taste of Buffalo, because that's where dogs should be. Dogs get nothing out of people festivals. I'm sorry, they just don't. They're not going to judge a dish. And when you talk about 86 degrees and mostly sunny, and by the way, it's going to be very humid on Saturday as well, so you got yourself a triple header going on there for the first day of a Taste of Buffalo. What is the big deal with leaving the dog at home? And I want you, on a day like Saturday, wherever you are, look into the face of your dog. Look into the face of a dog walking around a festival, okay? You know, what I remember about our family dog growing up was, on a day like it's going to be on Saturday, the dog's mouth would be wide open. It would be panting. It would be a little bit antsy. Good old Alfie was a little bit antsy. Won't tell you where he's buried. But a little bit antsy. And remember, the dog just kind of laying down and rolling over on his side. And he was a smart little mutt because he used to go into the basement where it was significantly cooler to sleep at night because he did not sleep in the house. He did not sleep in a bed with humans. No, no, no. He slept on a doggy area, in the doggy area of the house. But it seems as though, and I could be wrong, I don't know. It may have happened a couple of times in my life, but I don't remember those things. But I may be wrong, but it just seems like there are more dogs in public than there have ever been before. And because I do love dogs, I care about their safety and their health and their well-being. And anytime you've been at a festival and somebody's walking their dog in the festival, again, the dog simply sees legs and crotches. Have you ever seen a dog that looks happy to be there? Because I haven't. They all look absolutely miserable, as though their feet hurt. They're really confused by all the commotion. They don't know why they're there. And all they want to do is go home and have a drink of water and go to sleep. I'm just saying. So my question to you is, okay, if you own a dog, if you have a dog, if you have a best friend on four legs, tell me, I really would like to know, why, for those of you who do this, why does the dog have to go everywhere that you do all of the time? Why? Seriously, why? I don't hate dogs. It's because I love dogs, and I'm even bringing this up as a topic. Look, they're cute, they're cuddly, they're adorable. You can even have a pit bull. And I'm going to find some redeeming quality about that pit bull. I've never met a pit bull that I didn't like, quite frankly. And I've slept with a pit bull. I've had a pit bull sleep on. Very heavy animals, I might add. But I really like pit bulls. I find them to be absolutely adorable. Then again, one has never gnawed off my nether regions. But that's another story altogether. But when you see a dog at a people festival or at a restaurant, do you wonder, like, why the people didn't leave the dog at home? Because, honestly, I do. And one of the things that drives me absolutely crazy, and this happened last summer at a joint on the Lake Erie shore. I'll simply leave it at that. It may have been in Wilson, New York. But on the Lake Ontario shore, there was a woman with a dog. And there was a band playing. I could name the band, but I will not name the band. The Blank Brothers. How's that? This woman had a dog. They were playing at a very high volume. The dog in the hands or on the leash of the woman who was there was really close to the speaker. And I looked into this dog's eyes, and the eyes of this dog were basically screaming, "My ears are in agony. Does she not understand that my hearing is much finely tuned, much more than she's, than her hearing is?" Wow, did I actually say that? Did I actually screw up grammar that badly? Yes, you did. The dog was in agony. And here you have a dilemma as a man. Do you approach a woman and criticize her or suggest that she take alternative action with her dog, or do you stay seated? But another woman was able to take the onus off of me, and she approached. You couldn't hear what was being said, but when the woman is pointing to the speakers, pointing to the dog, and pointing to her ears, I think it was pretty well communicated, and I did actually thank the woman afterward for advising the dog owner that it was really stupid to have a dog in front of speakers that were blaring at that volume and, frankly, that high pitch of music. But I don't understand, when did human things become dog events? And does it bother you? When did human restaurants become dog friendly? How come dog friendly is even a thing? Because, again, growing up in our household, people events were people events, and the dogs were dogs. They weren't little people. They weren't grandchildren. They weren't fur babies. They were bloody dogs. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I know I probably sound like our caller from Cheektowaga, right? Women aren't having babies because dogs have cuckolded the men of America. Starting to believe he might have a point with that, I'm just saying. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Dogs at public places, has it gotten out of bloody hand? I think it has. think it's gotten ridiculous, frankly. Do you see dogs in baby carriages? Come on, really? I guess it beats having their foot pads on the hot pavement. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is coming up on 18 minutes after 4. Let's go to Carrie in Ransomville. Carrie, I'd say woof, woof, who let the dogs out? You're on WBEN.
We have five dogs, so obviously we're dog lovers, but I've always thought it was completely selfish when I saw people bring their dogs to festivals, carnivals, outdoor people events like you mentioned. I think it's selfish on the part of the dog owner because the dogs are overheated. They don't care what's going on. They're in an unusual environment. They're stressed out.
Yep.
And it's not for them. It's for the owner to show off their dog, and I think it's selfish. I don't bring my dogs to those things. I take my dogs camping, I'll take them to the dog park, I'll take them hiking, but when it comes to fairs and festivals, they stay home in an air-conditioned living room.
Yeah, you know, that do you ever get the idea that some of the guys who go to a festival with their dog, they basically are looking for attention from women. And some of the women who bring their dogs to these people things, they're looking for attention from men. And the dog is a way to do it to a third party.
I completely do, and I just think it's selfish. I mean, we love our dogs. We spoil them at home. We take them places where it's, you know, normal to take a dog, like hikes and the camping, like I mentioned. But I feel like festivals are for people, and it's too hot, it's too crowded, they get stressed out. It's just, it's like taking, you know, your newborn baby to a concert. It just shouldn't be done. You're only looking for attention, and it's selfish on the part of the dog owner.
I would love to hear from people who have to bring their dog everywhere. Are you simply looking for attention? Is that it? You are using the dog as your intercessor to get attention from the opposite sex or the same sex if you have a poodle and you're a dude. Sorry, I can't help myself sometimes. But no, but see, you are a true dog lover, and I'm a true dog lover because I would never think in a million years of bringing a dog to the taste of Buffalo where Saturday is going to be sunny and sticky and 86 degrees because I've seen dogs in those environments, and they all look absolutely miserable. It's like they're always looking over their shoulders at their owners, and they're like asking the question, why did you bring me here? Why? What did I do wrong?
And they can't escape the heat. I mean, think about how hot we are at those events. Think they're closer to the ground where the sun is bouncing off the pavement. Mm. They've got to be probably 10 degrees hotter than us up where we're standing. It's just not, it's selfish. I think it's selfish. My dogs are spoiled at home, like I said, but that's their environment. They have every right to be spoiled at home. I think it's entitlement to take them out and expect other people to put up with the fact that I've got dogs and I just want to prance them around and get attention from them.
Carrie, as a dog lover, when did you notice that things were just getting a little bit out of hand with dogs everywhere?
I think it's been going on for a while, but I especially noticed it, believe it or not, since COVID hit. I don't know if it's because people acquired more dogs since COVID because they were working from home and they were stuck at home and they're like, oh, let's get a dog. Whatever the case may be. So I don't know if it's just because there are more dogs, people have more dogs, or I don't know, but I've noticed it more ramped up since things started happening again after COVID.
That's a really good observation. During COVID, I'm pretty sure that everybody on the street except me had a dog and walked it regularly. Thank you very much, Carrie. I appreciate your input as a dog owner and dog lover. Dogs at public places. Has this just gotten out of hand? And Taste of Buffalo is going to be a scorcher on Saturday. They're telling people, they strongly encourage people to leave their dogs at home, and yet people, I'm sure, are going to bring their dogs. I don't get it. People things used to be for people, not for dogs and people. At what point did dogs achieve equality? Did I not get the memo? Here's Carrie in Springville on WBEN. Hello, Carrie. I'm sorry, Carol.
Yes, we just got home from the grocery store. We were putting our groceries at the register to cash out. Right behind us, we heard a little toddler crying and, you know, making a fuss. Mother said, no, you can't go there. And I just figured the mother took her out of the seat part of the cart, and the little one wanted to get back there. all of a sudden, the mother said, no, you can't go on the belt. The groceries go there. On the belt, of course the little one wanted to go. I mean, you know, it would be fun, I guess. And I looked at the cashier and asked, the cashier said, oh, I've never heard any kid, little one, want that before. But I've had dogs.
Forgive my interruption here, Carol, but does this have anything to do with our topic? Because I'm a little lost.
Next sentence. The cashier said, oh, I've had dogs come up on the cash register belt.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a great spot because I want you to finish your story and give us more details and info after the news with Mr. Puckett at 4:30 because there you are with your freshly picked strawberries or blueberries and God knows what else you buy at the grocery store, you devil you, your processed food and your high-carb diet. But anyway, but knowing that a dog has been on the belt before, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Kind of a funny story. I met somebody new the other day. No, not in that way, but met somebody new the other day and had outstretched my hand to shake her upon being introduced. And I noticed that when she extended her hand, she took a bag of dog excrement from the hand I was going to shake and put it into the other hand. And at that point, I withdrew my hand, kind of like Alan Garner in The Hangover, and said, you know what? I'm good. We don't need to shake hands right now. Maybe later. Probably thinks I'm a jerk, but the hand was loaded with dog dew, and I don't know how careful she was or how she picked it up, and that's kind of gross. Anyway, it is, is it any grosser than having a box in your house with cat turds? Probably not. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. What is up with dogs everywhere? Everywhere. Dogs. Taste of Buffalo Saturday. If anybody brings a dog, look in the face of the dog. You tell me that's a happy animal. That's not a happy animal. That's an animal that's hot, that thinks it's being punished with hell, thinks it's dead, and it did something wrong because somebody took it to the Taste of Buffalo. I'm just saying.
Who let the dogs out?
Well, the dogs are definitely out, and I'm not a big fan, to be honest with you. I love dogs, but whatever happened at the times you could actually go to a people event and not have to look out to, I almost stepped on a dog. Oh, almost tripped over this dog. Oh, there's another dog. At what point did we become such a dog society where things like the Taste of Buffalo, they actually have to state the obvious that it's not for dogs, and they do love dogs. That's why they would much prefer that you leave your dog at home. And who thinks it's a good idea to bring a dog to an event where all they're going to see is crotches and legs, and we won't get into their olfactory senses, and basically it's going to be 86 degrees on Saturday, it's going to be humid, and it's going to be sunny. Tell me what's there for a dog. Why wouldn't you just leave the dog at home? I've never seen a dog looking happy at one of these summertime events ever, ever. They look miserable. Some of the people look miserable as well. Let's go to Betty in Buffalo on WBEN. Betty, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Tom. I was just calling to piggyback off of the last caller who talked about the dogs at the grocery store. I was at the grocery store, one of the local chains here, waiting in line to pick up her prescription, and the woman had put her dog directly on the counter. It was like a little dog, like a Yorkie, like a Toto type dog, and had it up there on the counter for several minutes. And I think it made the employee uncomfortable. It was making other people around her uncomfortable. It was just very unsanitary. And she had the dog up there the whole time she was doing her exchange. But I was glad because once she put the dog back on the floor, the employee did wipe down the counter before calling over the next customer. But I just, you know, I like dogs. I have a dog. But I think there's a disregard for people that bring their dog to places like that, especially in the grocery store. It's unsanitary. You don't know if someone around you is allergic to dogs. And you're in an enclosed space, in close proximity sometimes, if you're both in the same area of the grocery store or walking around. And other things, too, like I have children that play sports, and sometimes the sporting events are very crowded, whether it's a tournament. Mm-hmm. My one daughter does boat racing, so sometimes everyone is in a very crowded area there, and people bring their dogs. And I turn around, and I have a dog right behind me sniffing my leg. Now, maybe some people are afraid of dogs. They don't like dogs. Maybe they've had a traumatic experience, got attacked by a dog. I just feel like it's not the people that bring their dogs aren't thinking about others. I agree with the one caller who said that they, you know, it's a selfish thing. The dog doesn't really need to be there. And a lot of the times at these sporting events, it's muddy, rainy, messy, and then the dogs are a complete mess as well. And I just think to myself, who would want to clean that up?
Not I. I'll say that much. But here's the thing. Some people will say, well, it's my service animal. I'm actually covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act, and this dog has every right legally in New York State to be in the grocery store with me. At what point did so many people become so disturbed that they needed a dog with them for comfort? Whatever happened to the good old days of whiskey?
I think that there's a majority of people, now I'm making an assumption, but I think a majority of people are taking advantage of the service dog allowance. I think a lot of the people that have dogs in grocery stores do not, I don't see any special vests on these animals. So I don't think that they're service dogs. And then a lot of the time the employees at these stores, whether it's at Target or a grocery store, they're young kids, teenagers. They are not going to go and approach a person and tell them that they can't bring their dog in, because then that person's going to get offended, and then it's going to be discrimination, and it just gets into this giant snowball effect.
Well, you know, you're making a great point, and basically, if an animal is not readily seen as a service animal, the only two questions that can be asked by an employee at a grocery store, for example, is the animal required because of a disability? Question number two, what work or task has the animal been trained to perform? So those are the only two questions. So it seems kind of weird that of the two questions, one of them is, do you have a disability? Any other situation that's highly frowned upon. But the... But as somebody who loves dogs, I think this whole thing has just gotten totally out of hand. I really do. How was it that people 30 years ago, 20 years ago, were able to function in their lives without having to have a dog with them 24/7? You walk through an airport now. What do you see? You see AstroTurf dog relief area. Oh, that's a fun thing to walk past.
Agreed.
So basically, I want you to think back in your memory. At what point did this become noticeable and also noticeably uncomfortable? Dogs everywhere.
I would say probably within the last, I don't want to go up to 10 years, but definitely within the last 5 years. So maybe it is a COVID thing. I don't know, like the last caller mentioned. I'm not sure, but I don't remember it. I mean, I traveled as a child, stayed in hotels, went different places, played sports myself, never remember seeing anyone bring in their dog. And the dogs are, you know, I'm not, nothing against the dogs at all. Most of the time the dogs are well behaved, but the people that have the dogs are not thinking about the people around them.
I also don't think they're thinking about the dog either. I mean, I'm sorry, but I grew up with a dog, little Alfie, lived to be 14 years of age, a mongrel. And I have to tell you that we never even thought about bringing the dog to people things, not even when we went to Grandma and Grandpa's house. Never.
No. Nope. It stayed home. It was a dog. It's a dog. You love the dog, but it's a dog. So...
Yeah, I mean, look, I loved my cats. I absolutely loved my cats, but they stayed at home. They were house cats. They had they had great lives, every one of them.
Yeah, so did my dogs. And I had all dogs growing up, too. And in that time, you just let your dog out. The dog roamed the neighborhood, and it came back home. I don't know. Maybe that's why people have to bring their dogs everywhere, because that's not really a thing anymore. I mean, you let your dog out in the yard, or you bring it to a dog park, but I don't know.
When we let the dog out, the dog had a fully fenced yard with a gate to keep the dog in. The dog was not really one to wander the neighborhood and then return home like some kind of a drone. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you, love. There's Betty in Buffalo. Now, by the way, I should mention, too, that emotional support animals are not considered service animals under ADA and New York law. So emotional support animals don't have the same public access rights, so they might not be permitted in grocery stores or other public accommodations. And some people are going to probably call in and say, Tom, my dog is cleaner than you are. They may have a point. Back to the calls. Here is Ken in North Tonawanda on WBEN. Ken, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
It definitely was COVID because, remember, it was only 5 years ago and they had big stories about everybody was adopting dogs. But anyway, that's not what I called.
But people, I would argue, though, and I do agree with you, kind of, but I'm trying to figure out why COVID, why the dogs who were adopted under COVID in this era are any different than any other dogs, and the people who adopted them are any different than any other people who have always had dogs in the house. I mean, we had a dog when I was growing up, as I've referenced, and the dog had a dog's life. It stayed home. It didn't come out to public lawn fetes or festivals. That would have been unthinkable.
Yeah, I had dogs all my life. I think this is not what I called about. What I called about is way more interesting, but...
Oh, go ahead, Do the interesting stuff. I didn't mean to bore you. How rude of me.
No. That wasn't interesting.
How silly of me.
I think that the people that got the dogs during the COVID, a lot of people just got the dog for something to do. I've had dogs. You had dogs. We were dog people. We didn't get the dogs, like, to have something to hold on to during this COVID thing. And then, you know, maybe people don't understand dogs. I don't know if that makes sense.
I guess I'm trying to figure out where you're going with this. Let me ask you a direct question. When you're out as somebody who has owned dogs, and let's say you're at the Taste of Buffalo this weekend, like Saturday in particular, sunshine, 86, and humid, can you explain to me in any logical, reasonable world what in the hell the dog is getting out of it other than misery?
Oh, I wouldn't. I'm right with you. Well, let me tell you what I called about, though.
Please. Let's have the show get interesting.
I go down Nyawanda Park a lot. And you said you used to walk down there, right?
10 miles a day. Didn't lose a pound.
Yeah. Okay. So then you're going to know what I'm talking about. I'm down there walking or I'm biking all the time. And you know the one rest room that has the water fountain?
Yes.
Okay. Numerous times that I've been down there, people have lifted their dogs up and are letting them drink out of the fountain.
Numerous times. Okay. Yeah. It's almost like
Disneyfication.
That is interesting. And last I checked, there was only one bathroom or, you know, one set of restrooms in that whole area. For men, at least, there is some vegetation there if you really get desperate. But they're very, very well maintained. For a minute, I thought you might be asking me to meet you there at a certain time.
That's a different park.
I know. That is just disgusting because what do dogs lick on their bodies? Everything. Yeah. And I mean everything. Yeah. If we could do that, we wouldn't even leave the house.
And if I was running or I'm biking and I'm thirsty, I really wanted some water. Now I'm not going to drink the damn stuff.
Oh. You know what? I never saw that in all of my times walking down there. No. In fact, I would bring my own, on a day like it's going to be Saturday, I would go through easily half a dozen bottles of Poland Spring in plastic bottles, which I don't do anymore unless it's absolutely necessary because I don't want microplastics accumulating in my nether regions. Thank you very much. That's a great story. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate the call. And that was interesting. That was definitely interesting. Thank you. Okay, guys, so you're going up to a drinking fountain. You've just done a 10-mile run. It's 86 degrees and humid. The person in front of you has raised their dog to the drinking fountain. What do you do? Do you let it run for a minute and then drink? Oh! Of course, then again, you don't know about the people in front of you at the drinking fountain. If you notice an open running sore on the lips, what do you do? Chances are the dog doesn't have herpes, but you never know. They get around. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. You know, it always just gets back to herpes. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for herpes. That stuff will come back with you. Hangover. Here is Todd in Amherst. Todd, has the world gone to the dogs?
I'm not sure if it's gone yet, but it might be. It might be on its way. But I was here at your show, had a call in. I love dogs. Don't get me wrong. I have a dog. He's awesome. But some people carry this a little bit too far. And I actually used to work with someone who very openly talked about bucking and scamming the system to try to get their dog as a service dog. So it's a lot easier when they fly with the dog or travel or take it in stores and things like that. So your one caller mentioned about people taking advantage of the system. I've seen so much of it. It does happen quite a bit, unfortunately.
But maybe put us in the picture. What is the intent? Is the intent to get cheaper traveling airline miles for the dog? Is that the intent? Or are they genuinely very emotionally distraught and overwrought and they really need the presence of another living being?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's, well, I knew they mentioned the convenience factor. But again, you know, some people just, if they can get away with something and take advantage, you know, very much like it seems like everybody and their third cousin has a handicap sticker to park in a handicap space. And, you know, it's just so easily these things got that there's really no vetting anymore, especially when you go to your PCP, because a lot of times, especially, you know, if you're healthy and, you know, these PCPs are dealing with the changes with value-based care and everything else, you know, they're happy to sign anything and put anything in writing if it keeps, you know, one of their patients happy and coming back. And there's very little vetting, it seems, to be done. And I was just so surprised that some people so openly talk about this and just have no shame to kind of do it. And that's sad because, you know, that ruins it for people that really, really need it. And, you know, I love dogs and happy for dogs to see them around and everything else, but I think people just take them a little bit too far, and like many things in society.
So just out of curiosity, let's just pretend that you are at Taste of Buffalo on Saturday. Let's pretend you're walking around and you see somebody, man or woman, walking a dog. 86 degrees, very, very humid, a lot of sunshine, very hot pavement. Are you the kind of guy who says something, or do you let it go?
If the dog looks in distress, I say something. I've seen it as well, too, with people, you know, running in to, you know, the local coffee shop for their coffee and donut in the morning where they see the drive-through and they got their dog with them and it's too long. So they decide to run in and, the, you know, the dog's out there and, you know, making sure the window is open. The dog gets some air. And sometimes they don't want to do that because when you mention something, they're afraid the dog is going to jump out. Well, then, you know, if you're worried about the dog jumping out, then leave the dog at home, to your point, or skip your coffee or something else in the morning. You know, I look at that very much like when someone is traveling with a child. You have to take unique circumstances when you travel to adjust and accommodate yourself to what that child needs. And it seems like people with their dogs don't want to do that. They want the dog to kind of just go with the flow with whatever works for them. And whether it's putting the dog on the counter or, you know, having the dog drink from the water fountain, you know, it's a little bit too much these days, to say the least. But I say something because, you know, you have to, it takes a village, as they say. And unfortunately, even though in today's day and age, you'll get people that might not like you saying something. But, you know, then if you don't, then unfortunately, then you have to wrestle with your conscience, especially if you see something on the news, something happened because you didn't say something. So I think you kind of have to these days, unfortunately, especially if someone doesn't have common sense and then the dog is struggling and everything else, whether it be dogs, children, elderly, I mean, you name it. Unfortunately, you know, people are caring for animals and people these days that probably shouldn't and are not thinking smartly.
Very good call, Dad. I hope you call back, maybe not today, but a future program. Great to hear you. Appreciate it. It is News Radio 930 WBEN. There's Todd in Amherst. All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN and Taste of Buffalo. Great event, big event. Lots of people go. Happening Saturday and Sunday downtown Buffalo. And it's going to be on Saturday, mostly sunny, humid, and 86 degrees. Why would you bring your dog into that environment? Because what's in it for the dogs? Just legs and crotches. That's it. That's all that's in it for, and have never seen a dog look anything less than absolutely miserable in conditions like that, surrounded by strange sensations and stimulations. Why does your dog have to come everywhere with you? I'm curious because I love dogs. Growing up, we had a dog. But guess what? When people were doing people things, the dog stayed home. It wasn't a part of the family to the point where, oh, we're going on an excursion. We must make arrangements for the dog to come with us too. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I love dogs, but frankly, getting a little bit weary of seeing them everywhere. Everywhere a dog. Everywhere. Here is Darlene on WBEN. Hello.
Hello. Listening to whoever issued that they should strongly keep their dog away from the festivity.
Yes, that was the Taste of Buffalo. It's on their website. That's a frequently asked question, and they say specifically, because we love dogs, we're strongly recommending you leave your dog at home.
Well, think again. Here in Lewiston, I'm thinking of the art festival and all the other festivals that we have down Center Street. And it's not just people who really maybe don't have a thought in their head. There are people who are very professional who bring their dogs no matter what size. Now, I love my dog dearly. She's not barking. She's laying on the chair looking out the window towards Canada. But I'm not going to take her to any place where, and I look at people. I've never said anything to them. I want to, but you never know what people are going to, how they would retaliate. Hmm. But I don't know how you could, how could it be issued that dogs are prohibited from this activity or this activity?
Well, maybe a little bit of common sense.
And if you bring your dog, there's a $200 fine. Maybe that'll do it. I don't know.
But here's what I'm trying to figure out. What has changed so dramatically that creatures which used to be considered pets around the home or the farm are now considered almost like children?
Well, the whole world has changed, Tom. You know?
I know it has, but some things... I mean, are people any more neurotic now than they were 30 years ago or 5 years ago? And then everywhere you go now, there's a dog. People, anything involving people, there are dogs. And again, when you look at these dogs at these summertime festivals in particular, have you ever seen one that looked happy and bouncingly joyous to be there? They always look absolutely miserable. Like, how come you brought me here? This is dog hell. Don't you get it?
Well, there's a local, I won't name the grocery chain, but I saw the most adorable dog in the cart. And I had to go up to the lady, converse, and so on. But it wasn't a service dog. And she said, oh, yeah, they allow dogs in the store. Well, maybe you should leave your dog at home. How about that for an option?
Did you tell her that? Because, I mean, you walked up to the cart. Oh, your dog is barking now.
Nope,
it knows you're talking about another dog.
I know. Anyone going by, she's barking.
Okay, you gave the dog and the woman attention. Do you think maybe that's what she was all about?
No. I mean, she was an older woman, not a young kid, but... Whatever.
It just seems that the dog would be better off.
They should be prohibited.
I don't see a good reason why a dog, unless it is a good old-fashioned service dog, like a seeing eye dog, something like that. But it just seems as though everywhere you go, dogs. And it's got to be for the owner of the dog. It can't be for the dog itself. I'm sorry, I was just trying to communicate a thought, but go ahead.
I know. I mean, I do take my dog a lot of places that I go to, not a place where she wouldn't be welcome, but she loves to go in the car. She loves people. She loves to go out, but I don't push her on people and I don't push her on events. So I'll let the next caller
Yes, okay. Thank you very much. Sounds like a busy time at Darlene's house. Let me guess, one of her friends heard her on the radio and decided to call. And if you were wondering who still has a landline in Western New York, I believe Darlene still has a landline. So give it up for Darlene, the last person with a landline in Western New York. Maybe. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We are talking about dogs. And what actually made this arise as a topic is looking ahead to the forecast for Saturday and the Taste of Buffalo. I see it's going to be 86 degrees. It's going to be mostly sunny and it's going to be humid. And I think back to being at various festivals and the number of dogs at people events growing exponentially over the past few years. And I don't understand this phenomenon whatsoever, because growing up, again, we had a dog. I happen to love dogs. I think dogs are magnificent. But there was a world where you had your dog that was called your home, or perhaps your farm, maybe even family members' houses, maybe on a trip, maybe going out hiking. That was the dog world. But now it's almost like the dog world has invaded the human world. Very few places you can go anymore without encountering dog, and sometimes dog after dog after dog. And let's face it, people see a dog, they kind of fall in love with the cuddly puppy. But two dogs see each other and they give each other the evil eye. You ever seen a couple of dogs wrangling, almost getting into it in a public place? I don't understand why dogs aren't staying at home more. And explain, can anybody please tell me, what is a dog going to get out of the Taste of Buffalo? What? It's going to be so hot, the pavement and the sidewalk are going to be blistering hot. The footpads have got to be very, very painful after a city block of walking. And the dogs always seem to me to look as though they're not exactly having a real good time in the heat, with the crowd, lots of strange smells, maybe people stepping on its foot or whatever, or its multiple feet. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And the other thing is, are people going off the deep end, treating their dogs as if they were children or grandchildren? I'm trying to figure that whole dynamic out. Now, look, I'm not one to judge anybody for pretty much anything, but a dog, to me, is a dog. It is an animal. We are at the top of the food chain, and a cat is a cat, and we inhabit different worlds. And again, there's a dog world, there's a cat world, there's a human being world, and it's like the human being world is being taken over by the canine world in a lot of places. And if dogs are being lifted up to drink out of the fountain at Nyawanda, I'm sorry, that's gross. I know where that tongue has been. Ugh. Here is, well, we know where yours has been. Okay. Here's Mark in Tonawanda on WBEN. Hello.
Hello, Tom. I just want to say I think you and the last caller hit it on the nail head. It's almost like the Munchausen syndrome. They bring their dogs to get attention. You know, they can't bring their kids around anymore. Kids don't want to go with their parents. So they bring their dogs, and then you see them all crowding in the aisles of the grocery stores, of the department stores or whatever. Oh, what a beautiful dog. What a beautiful animal. Oh, tell me about your animal. Oh, I've got a beautiful animal, too. I'd love to dress them up and take them out. I think it's Munchausen.
Munchausen syndrome. Okay, not to be confused with Munchausen's by proxy, which people can look up online if they have any desire to do so. I don't know that it's Munchausen's, but it's something really weird, this transference of love that ordinarily would be directed at another human being, maybe a spouse, a significant other, child, a grandchild. It's like this transference has gone on where people are giving the same level of love, attention, and affection, and probably a same level of clothing expenses to canines that they used to give to children. I don't get it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the one thing that really irks me so much is when, you know, they have the section of the grocery cart that's supposed to be for a child to sit in, and they have their animal sitting in there, and you don't know where your animal's butt has been or if it's leaking or whatever, and you put your food in there.
Well, frankly, sir, at my age, I'm not sure about that myself. Sorry, a little humor there. I thought I'd make your day, or make your day kind of gross. I appreciate the call, sir. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. And look, the one thing I want everybody to know is I love dogs. If I haven't made that abundantly clear, let me repeat. I love dogs, but I'm sorry, growing up, dogs did not have the, shall we say, entree into human society that they seem to have now, and they weren't revered as almost children the way they are now, or grandchildren the way they are now. And I don't know if that's healthy or if it's unhealthy or what the story is, but have you noticed that there are more dogs than ever before invading the human realm? What happened to separation of the species to the greatest degree possible? And it's almost like we have this cult now of the dog in America. You might think, Tom hates dogs. I don't hate dogs. I love dogs. But to everything there is a season, and to everything there is a place. And for example, dogs just don't belong at Taste of Buffalo. They don't belong. And they're going to be miserable on Saturday anyway. Let's go to Amy in Amherst on WBEN. And I applaud the Taste of Buffalo for saying, we strongly recommend you leave your dog at home. Thank you, Taste of Buffalo. Amy, hello.
Hi, Tom.
Ma'am.
And I just wanted to say, I think, especially the younger generation, they're not having children. They're getting dogs. And those dogs are like their children. They want to bring them everywhere. Also, I think nowadays more and more people are struggling with depression and anxiety. So they're getting emotional support dogs, and they're attached at their hip. They want to bring them everywhere with them.
Yeah. How come the guys coming back from World War II didn't need emotional support dogs? How come the guys coming back from Korea didn't need emotional support dogs? And I'm sorry, but those guys went through a hell of a lot more anxiety and stress than most of us do.
I agree. I work at Veterans Hospital. So I've worked there for almost 18 years. So I definitely know where that's coming from, seeing veterans with PTSD. And I think maybe they had thicker skin back then.
But why are people so stressed?
I don't know.
Basically, it's almost like, is it possible that because our basic needs are largely met for shelter, for food, etc., that we almost invent things about which to stress and about which to worry? And we make our lot seem worse than it really is, when in actuality, compared to pretty much any other time in human history, we actually live better than royalty did back in the Middle Ages. We have indoor plumbing, for example. They didn't.
I agree. I think social media has a lot to do with it. People go on Facebook and they see people that may, you know, people get jealous of people, or, you know, see things that they wish they had. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sorry, but the true happiness does not begin with comparing yourself to other people and their material possessions. True happiness begins with looking inward to yourself and what makes you tick. I'm sorry, but that's just the way I kind of look at it. And material possession is never going to make anybody happy. If that was the case, how come so many people in Hollywood with all this money and all this fame and fortune and the fancy cars, how come they're so miserable?
I agree. Money doesn't buy happiness, that's for sure. You need to be grateful for what you have.
But when you said that people aren't having kids, so the emotion that they would invest in their child or grandchildren is transferred to a dog, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but that's kind of a sad commentary on where we are.
It is. I have a son and daughter in their 20s, and their friends are not having kids. They have dogs, and those dogs are their children. They don't want to invest in, unfortunately, to have a child and the responsibility of a child, sadly.
Well, but I do find it ironic that the same kind of responsibilities they're trying to avoid by having children also come with having a pet. You have to feed it.
Yeah.
You have to make provisions for it when you go on vacation. You have to bring it with you or make provisions for when you go on vacation. You have to have a good shelter for it. You have to make sure it receives regular veterinary care. Usually children go to the pediatrician. Hopefully not that one in Texas. But the situation is, pets are a responsibility. And frankly, at this point in my life, a responsibility I don't wish to have. I've done my bit. Thank you very much. And if I leave the house, I don't want to have to worry about what the cat is going to do or what the dog is going to do. It's freedom.
I agree.
All right, Amy, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I mean, I don't even want as much as a goldfish at this point. And again, I loved my cats. My cats had great lives. Two of them lived to be 19 years old, and they were absolutely awesome. One 14, the other 13. Not that I remember these things. But anyway, I'm just saying, I do love animals. But in my world, even my wonderful cats, they were animals. They were pets. They were not to be confused with human beings. Different level and plane of existence. I don't understand what's going on here. And I don't understand why people have to bring their dogs everywhere. At first, maybe it was cute. Now I find it kind of annoying. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. You ever been at a festival and had a dog basically stick its snout up your...
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
I can always count on Tanner Saunders, Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is 537. And since when have the dogs been the equivalent of human beings? And Taste of Buffalo coming up this weekend. Saturday is going to be hot and sunny and sticky. And why would anybody even think of bringing a dog into an event like that? The organizers of the Taste, much to their credit, I might add, strongly suggest people leave their dogs at home. Nonetheless, I'll bet you you'll see more than half a dozen dogs walking around Taste of Buffalo. Let's go to the calls. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And honestly, I've never seen a dog in an environment like that look anything less than absolutely miserable. Like you look at 6 a.m. on a Monday in the fall after the Bills lose and you have to go to work on a 12-hour shift. That's you on a Monday during that time. That's the dog at Taste of Buffalo. Just saying. Here is Gary on WBEN. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Tom. I think you made a really good point, and that is we have blurred the distinction between animals and people. And I love dogs. I know you've said you love dogs. Dogs are terrific. As a matter of fact, we don't deserve them. But they are animals, and I think we're of a similar age. And when we were younger, dogs slept in dog houses or they were kept outside, and now you see dogs in people's beds. You see dogs sitting on couches. You see dogs literally taking over the house and taking over our life. And as some of the previous callers have said, you know, we have a negative population growth. The fact is we're not having enough kids to even replace our current population. And we're substituting animals for what I think are necessary human relationships. And I'm not knocking dogs. Dogs are fantastic. I own a dog. They're great, but I'll ask you, do you really think, I mean, I'm sure you know people where dogs sleep in their bed. I don't think that's right. They are animals.
Well, and I think it's a question of individual choice, because if I were to go and say that I don't think a dog should sleep in a human's bed, I'd be a total hypocrite because my cats always would sleep with me. Now, granted, my cats did not go outside. They were inside, but they still had to use the litter box, but I was willing to take my chances. But when I was growing up, I will tell you this much, the dog did not sleep with any of us or mom or dad. The dog slept in the back hall.
It's
nice
true.
Blanket, and nice warmth, and the dog was in the hall. That was the dog world.
I see dogs with seats on airplanes. People actually purchase, you know, they used to put the dog in the holder, they would put the dog underneath the seat. People are now purchasing seats for dogs on airplanes, and they allow it, which I think is a little crazy. Again, I love dogs. You love dogs, and they're terrific, but I think as a society, I, you know, you alluded earlier that we might be substituting them for children. Well, it's obvious we are, because we're not having children, and every childless couple has their dog, which is their child. And you know, it's okay, but it's not equivalent. There's going to be a shortfall there, I think, downstream.
You know, I think we crossed the Rubicon. I think we crossed the Rubicon as a society when we started referring to our dogs and our cats as fur babies. I think that was the beginning. That was an indication of the extent to which we've lost our heads over pets. What if I have a gerbil as a service animal, an emotional support gerbil?
Well, you also brought up the fact that I think people definitely, we are living in such lush times that we have to invent problems if we don't have them, because, you know, we've got emotional support animals. And as you know, that, you know, we went through much more difficult times, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, and none of those guys came home and needed a support animal. As a matter of fact, those guys didn't need very much at all. So I don't know. I think it's just a reflection of the times. Don't you?
Everything is a reflection of the times in which it takes place. Everything is and always has been a reflection of the times during which the event actually happens. But as far as we are inventing situations about which to be miserable, One thing, I mean, you sound like a really smart dude. One thing you might enjoy doing is going back and looking at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it is a really, and it's spelled M-A-S-L-O-W for those who don't know. And it's a fascinating sociological construct, which kind of fits here, I think. I'm not sure where we are in the hierarchy, but I do believe that Dr. Maslow makes some very relevant points to our discussion today. I don't have time to get into them right now, but you can look them up.
So do you agree we're blurring the distinction between people and animals?
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the basis of the show. And I kind of used the taste of buffalo as a concrete example of something that's been driving me slowly crazy for the past few years. It used to be cute, the occasional dog you'd see out. But now I don't want to say I'm seeing as many dogs as people, but I would say the number of dogs I'm seeing out has tremendously and dramatically increased.
So my question is that a one-way ticket or does that pendulum ever swing back?
Well, it's going to take a lot to get people in America to have children, because our children and their children are graduating into a world of a lot of debt, a lot of student loan debt, somewhat limited economic opportunities, which are cast into further doubt by the advent of AI and people saying, look, a lot of jobs in America that are white collar are going to be replaced by AI. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. So I don't know if the low birth rate is something that can be reversed or even slowed down. There are some things I think the government could do in terms of child tax credits, which might help the problem, and even a bonus for the more children you have.
Well, you hit on an important point, not to get political, but, you know, the backbone, the building block of this country is the family. And if we end up with the families full of dogs, that's not good for the future of the country.
Well, you know what? We actually did. I should probably do that topic again, because ever since we did it, I've been seeing some of the things that people pointed out during that show about the low birth rate. I've seen that in the real world. And one of the things I've noticed is the dog thing, which was brought up and has been brought up a number of times by our caller from Cheektowaga, who definitely goes off. He is an extremist, but he does make some really good points. And my wife kind of agrees with a lot of what he says, too. And she's a pretty free thinker. So, it is, but it's very tough to be in a situation where you love dogs and cats, I might add. You love these critters, these creatures, but you also understand that there is a difference between human beings and canines or felines. And the line, as you have said, that I have said, has become increasingly blurred. And I think it does kind of seem like the pandemic, but I think the pandemic may have accelerated a trend that was already underway.
Well, again, I think animals are great. I think dogs are great. But that blurring, that link, that distinction, it is going to have a major impact downstream, because with a negative birth rate, it's going to impact the vitality of this country. And the ability for the next generations to pay taxes and fund Social Security. And again, not to get political, but this blurring, this distinction is actually, it's cute, but it's also incredibly dangerous downstream.
Yeah, for a society, absolutely. Great points, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. That show has to be done again, don't you think? The low birth rate and its consequences, because that was a good one. And this is maybe an extension. Maybe this is the son of that show or the puppy of that show. Here is Diane on WBEN. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Tom.
Howdy.
I think I might have missed a little segment while I was running errands, but it sounds like you alluded to my thought was that, you know, people got animals during the pandemic and didn't really begin with the end in mind. Animals aren't used to being left alone. The owners aren't used to making accommodations for that. And now they're back out in the world, you know, thinking they can just take their dog anywhere. And to your point, yeah, I've never seen a dog at like a huge festival, Allentown, Taste of Buffalo, even the local farmers markets where that dog looks like it's really enjoying the experience, you know?
No, that the dogs in these kind of environments always look absolutely miserable and stressed. And I can't imagine what it would be like to be a dog on the hot pavement on Saturday at Taste of Buffalo, 86 degrees, high humidity. That's got to be the dog's version of worst date ever.
Well, think about how much more sensory a dog is compared to us as well, right? So all the smells, all the sounds, it's all amplified. I mean, to me, it's almost I don't want to say abusive, but it certainly can't be in the animal's best interest.
Well, the other thing I've noticed, too, just leaving festivals out of it for a moment, as you know, I'm rather fond of live music. And last summer, there was a woman with her dog, and there was a band playing, and they were playing really loud. And she had her dog standing there together. They were both right in front of the speaker. That dog looked like he was absolutely in misery. And I wanted to say something, but a wonderful lady beat me to the other lady with the dog. And the lady did back away from the speaker at a considerable distance. And I did thank her for so doing.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, I mean, I have a dog. He's 66 pounds. He's a year old. He's a rescue. He runs errands with me and hangs out in the car for 5 or 6 minutes at a time, parked in the shade. But he doesn't go anywhere. You know, he's not. I function under the premise that I could encounter anyone out in the world who's either allergic or averse or afraid. So I think it's disrespectful to the humans to think we can take our dogs anywhere there's, you know, access, so to speak.
Yeah, you know what? I'm one of these people. Dogs don't scare me. I've never had a bad experience with a dog that's worth telling a story. And it's not a fear thing. It's just a, wow, at what point did this become a dog and people place as opposed to a people place?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that it can be a detriment to some businesses when they open up to dogs. There's other people who are not going to frequent that business because they don't want to encounter someone else's animal, especially an animal that's not well socialized for an environment like that.
And somebody was telling me that one of the ways people are getting out of paying when they rent an apartment of paying the extra fee as a deposit for their dog is they have their vet state that it is a service animal or any, I think it's emotional support. I got to look this up, but apparently people are gaming the system that way.
So I am a landlord, and there's a difference between an emotional support animal and an actual service animal. So it's not just getting a letter from the veterinarian, but getting a letter from an actual doctor as well that says why the dog is necessary.
And the service animal, that would be covered under Americans with Disability. The emotional support is not.
And miraculous that we have canine companions that can really help people with genuine challenges. But it also dilutes that service animal designation when, like, oh, I just don't want to get a dog sitter, so let me get this piece of paper for my dog, you know, or I don't want to come home 2 hours early, so let me just take this dog everywhere. And then it does put other people on guard, you know, as a landlord, you know, you have to be more scrutinizing because a service animal is not going to tear up your house.
Yeah, they are very, very well trained. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Good stuff here, guys. Very good stuff. I'm glad that this has resonated with you today on WBEN. More to come. Don't go anywhere. Certainly has turned into an interesting discussion, and some people half listening will come away with one idea that I hate dogs. I do not hate dogs. I love dogs. Absolutely, positively adore them. But growing up, a dog had its world and people had their world. Now it's like the two are overlapping more and more. Lapping, get it? Here is Matt in Lackawanna on WBEN. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I work the fair security every year, and my pet peeve, I dread it every year, is you got to do 4 hours on the gates and dealing with people with, they say, oh, my little purple Pomeranian is a service dog. And every year they try to get these little lap dogs in and claim that they're service dogs. And you try to tell them that dog goes in and bites a kid or, you know, scratches a kid or whatever, you know, they're going to say, what gate did he come in? Gate 4 at 6 o'clock, let's see who was working that gate. But it's every year we deal with these people, and then they try to say that, well, no, it's an emotional support dog. It's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. But every year we'll deal with it. It's hot as hell. And like you said, the dog's pads are on a hot pavement. There's tons of people and kids. There's farm animals coming by, and people want to bring these lap dogs in. I don't understand it.
So if somebody says they're a service animal, are you limited to those two questions I read earlier that you can ask?
Yes, we are. What's your disability and what service does the dog perform? It's the same two questions. And then they'll flash a fake service dog ID card in your face. You know, they try to get in through that way. But what you were saying before about, you know, people having dogs instead of kids, not to get off subject, that's going to come back to haunt this country. There's one group that's having tons of kids, and nobody else is, but that's a whole different subject. But, yeah, every year it's a problem at the fair, and every year they'll try to get those dogs in.
And how disappointed are they when you turn them away at the gate?
Well, usually you get the old, well, I want to see a supervisor. And a lot of times the supervisor's standing right behind you. But they butt heads with you. And then what I try to do is, like, the gate four in Salt Park, that line goes forever to all the way to Salt Park. If I see somebody with the dog in line, I'll go, if I got to walk 200-300 feet to go talk to them before they get up to the to our part, the gate, I'll try to give them a heads up. Hey, that dog cannot come in. It's not a service dog. And they'll moan and they'll whine and have hissy fits. But most of the time, 9 times out of 10, they go back to their car. They're not the happiest, and they'll come back later mad. But it is what it is.
Well, hopefully they're not leaving the dog in the car while they're at the fair, because it gets kind of hot in August.
We've had that, too. We've had to call the sheriffs and the horse patrol to find them. And you'd be amazed. I work a stadium, too. We had one time somebody left an Irish wolfhound and a dog in a car, an SUV, at the stadium and left the car running with the air conditioner on. And then when we finally tracked them down in the stadium, they said, oh, well, I left the AC in the vehicle running for the dog. I said, you have got to be kidding me. The game is how many hours long? You're going to be in there 6-7 hours, and you're going to leave this dog in a nice SUV running in the lot. So you see it all.
I'm kind of speechless, especially after the show we did on car thefts in Western New York.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate all the calls today on WBEN. I'm glad this resonated with you. And, the low birth rate thing and people not having babies anymore, that has to play into this somehow, because canines have become almost like substitute children or grandchildren for a lot of people. Thanks to Tanner Saunders for magnificent work behind the glass, including making sure I don't say it's whatever time I said it was before in a multitasking glitch in the brain.